Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Last week, the government's ban on gang patches officially came into effect. Under the new law, gang insignia is now officially banned in public places, and police now have the power to break up large groups in public for causing fear and intimidation, and can issue orders preventing gang members from associating or communicating for up to 3 years. While hailed by the coalition government as a bold step in their tough-on-crime approach to law and order, the law has been questioned by experts and even a number of police officers themselves, who say that a suppression approach to policing gangs is likely to push gang activity to the periphery instead of eradicating it, and that it would disproportionately target marginalised communities. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March about the gang patch ban coming into effect and the party's take on it. We also had a discussion about the fall in New Zealand's ranking on the Climate Change Performance Index, as well as the Ministry of Health's evidence brief and position statement on puberty blockers. Do you think that the gang patch ban is an effective way to address the prevalence of gangs here in Aotearoa?
The gang patch ban is a gimmicky legislation that doesn't actually address the reason why people join gangs in the first place. It won't keep anyone safe, and all it will do is stigmatize many communities, particularly Maori, from being able to, for example, congregate in social ways that actually keep them as part of a community. If we wanted to address the reason why people join gangs in the first place, we would be addressing things like poverty and the pathway into state care, which in and of itself causes people to join gangs.
What impacts do you think the ban will have on marginalised communities here in Aotearoa?
We'll see Māori, Pacifica people and other people of colour particularly targeted by the police. I think it'll create confusion around how this is implemented, and all it will lead is to greater policing of communities who are already disenfranchised without actually keeping people safe.
Lastly, what would you say is a more effective way for the government to address the prevalence of gangs?
Well, we just had an inquiry into abuse in state care being released, and it showed that state care is actually a pathway into gang membership, and that poverty ends up being a pathway into state care. And so if we're serious about addressing the fact that the government has created a pathway for people to join gangs in the first place, we'd be addressing inequality, we'd be addressing poverty, the quality of housing, so that people don't have to end up in state care to begin with.
Moving on to our next topic, the latest update to the Climate Change Performance Index was officially released last week and showed that Aotearoa's ranking had fallen 7 places to 41st. Firstly, I'd like to ask, what is your reaction to this, and why do you think New Zealand's ranking has fallen so far?
It's pretty embarrassing for our country to be falling down the ranks so quickly, but it is absolutely no surprise when we have a government that it is literally peddling climate denialism, creating plans to mine coal and oil and gas. And I think this just speaks to the fact that the world isn't stupid and that they can see that this government's agenda doesn't align with the latest evidence that we need to do the most to tackle climate change, or else communities will be put at risk from more extreme weather events.
Are there any specific government policies that may have led to this decline in the ranking, would you say?
Well, it's a mix of the fast-track legislation that enables terribly polluting projects to be consented, the reopening of offshore oil and gas exploration, but also winding down back transport policies that would have seen cleaner vehicles onshore and locking us into polluting vehicles, as well as more roading infrastructure that is more polluting rather than investing on public transport.
This all comes after Climate Change Minister Simon Watts also left the COP29 summit in Azerbaijan early before the conference's finance negotiations. What do you think about the impacts of our government's climate policies on New Zealand and New Zealand's reputation?
Well, falling down the rankings when it comes to climate action, it's find that the world is taking notice about our government's climate denialist politics. And we need a climate minister that actually is a champion when it comes to tackling climate change, rather than simply someone who caves into the government's polluting and life-threatening policies. And we've got to remember that tackling climate change is a global effort. Every country has to do its part, no matter how big or small.
And how would the Green Party intend to oppose the government's climate policy and boost New Zealand's ranking in climate performance?
Well, we're fighting every day in Parliament against the government's climate policies. But more than that, I think what we have to do is to continue putting solutions that recognise that tackling climate change can also make life better for everyday people. It can address issues around cost of living. A great example of this is free public transport and greater investment in rail. Those things don't only address climate change, but they actually help people on their everyday lives and allow them to get to work and school more easily.
Moving on to our last topic, the Ministry of Health recently published a brief and position statement on the use of puberty blockers for gender identity issues, saying that the evidence supporting the effectiveness and safety of puberty blockers was limited and of poor quality. The brief then advised doctors to ensure that greater caution was used in prescribing puberty blockers to young people with gender identity issues. Firstly, I'd like to ask what your reaction and thoughts are to the evidence briefing.
Well, we've got to remember that behind this context that we have a government that has peddled transphobic misinformation when it comes to puberty blockers. At the same time, this is a message nonetheless that recognises that trans people do need gender-affirming healthcare, and that needs to be protected. And I think politicians need to stop peddling misinformation when it comes to gender-affirming healthcare, which cis people, for example, get access to all the time in the form of things like hair transplants.
Would you say that the advice given in the briefing was politically motivated?
Well, the whole push against trans people has been politically motivated. We have ministers in government who have peddled literal misinformation when it comes to gender-affirming healthcare and in the trans community. So yes, but at its core, we also got to recognise that this piece of information also affirms that gender-affirming healthcare is healthcare and that trans people nonetheless still deserve access to it.
How do you think the advice will impact gender-diverse youth?
Well, what we'll keep an eye out is that the trans youth are able to access gender-affirming healthcare. At the end of the day, we also need a government to invest in it rather than simply rely on politically motivated advice. And right now, our trans youth are facing already a lot of issues when it comes to access to housing, discrimination in school and in the workplace. And so we need to make sure our political leaders stop peddling this information, which in and of itself impacts the well-being and the safety of trans people in their everyday lives.
Lastly, what steps would you say the government should take on to ensure that gender-affirming care is more accessible to those who are trans or gender diverse?
Well, it relies on a series of interventions such as an improvement in the curriculum. It relies on ensuring that we research the community organisations that actually help reach out trans youth when it comes to issues of healthcare, and that we bolster the education available at school so that people understand what is available to them, that parents of trans kids actually have the information that they need to make informed decisions alongside their kids too.
And that was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March talking to me about the gang patch ban coming into effect, New Zealand's fall in ranking on the Climate Change Performance Index, and the Ministry of Health's brief and position statement on puberty blockers.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.